wonderful to be able to give out God's word. In fact, it's really wonderful to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's really my subject, which is why I said to Ralph, you can't exhaust the subject of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole scripture from cover to cover is really about our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. But what I'd like to do is to pretty much confine my remarks or whatever I have to say to the book of Hebrews. That makes it easy. It conserves energy. And even though you don't get the breeze from turning your pages, you will save the effort on actually turning the different pages. And I promise the subject matter promises really a wonderful time. Whether I explain it or teach it well or not, anytime we open up our scriptures to the book of Hebrews or any other part of the scripture, it's profitable. There was a man here named Sam Sproul years ago, and he was called upon to give out God's word on a really with no notice, and he didn't feel he was really well prepared to do so. As far as giving out, he didn't have an outline to go by or anything. But what he said was something interesting that really I never forgot. He said, if we only do nothing up here but read scripture, it's honorable. It really is honorable because it's God's word. But of course, teaching or commenting or discussing God's word is also profitable. And so I'd like to talk to the subject at hand about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Hebrews is all about the priesthood of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And some of us here have been saved a long time, and some not so long. But what we do in the Sunday school that normally I talk about is the subject of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, perhaps you heard me say this before, what we're doing is telling about the Lord Jesus Christ so that not doctrine as far as church truth or gathering unto the Lord's name so much, although it can be mentioned, but what I like to emphasize is the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's so essential. You never outgrow that. Never. And what happens is it causes us to love him more. No matter how long you've been saved, I can honestly say I love Charlene more than I ever have. We've been married almost 40 years. But why is that? Because I've come to know her and I come to love her, and that's the way it should be. We're still, after 6 months of marriage or so, you're still checking each other out. And, you know, you're really getting a little surprises here and there, and that works both ways. But what happens is with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you know him, really know him, the more you will love him. The more your heart grows on him, and the more he's not going to love you any more than he already does, because he doesn't change. He loves you completely. The day you got saved, and even before you got saved, he knew you were going to get saved, but he loves you. And what the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's what they used to sing. Well, that's a different kind of love than what we're talking about here. We're talking about divine love that only God can have and that only those redeemed by precious blood can have. That's called agape love. That's the love that the Lord Jesus Christ had for us. And we come into that when we get saved. You don't have it before you get saved. You can't have it before you get saved. You can't ask a bird to swim like a fish, and you can't ask a fish to fly like a bird. It's not your nature. Until you get saved, you have a new nature. You still have the old one, but you have a new nature. But the Lord Jesus Christ, that's his nature, and you're partakers of his wonderful nature. Now, the book of Hebrews is all about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is that? Was he a priest after the order of Aaron? He wasn't even from that same tribe. Now, the priesthood came from a certain tribe in Israel. Oh, no, he's not after the earthly priesthood. He came not after the Aaronic. Aaron was the first priest. Now, Moses was Aaron's brother. How come Moses wasn't a priest? You know why? Why not Moses? He was a great leader, great teacher, prophet, and all that. How come his brother Aaron was the priest? Because he felt the lash. Remember when the children of Israel were under slavery, under a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph? Oh, Aaron was under that lash. They made them build bricks, and it got a lot hotter there than it does here. And then they made them build bricks without straw. They had to get their own straw, and so on and so on. And if they didn't work fast enough, they got the lash. Aaron felt the lash. Did the Lord Jesus Christ feel a lash? Oh, he did. He did. He felt the lash. Not just the lash at the crucifixion, but he bore our infirmities. He went about healing people because he was fully human and yet fully divine at the same time. He could feel that lash. He was fellowship of our sufferings. He could say out the cross, "I thirst." But we know that he was thirsty before that. He was hungry. He went to a fig tree. Fig tree had no fruit. And so he cursed it. The fig tree was a picture of Israel because there was no fruit for God at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a curse, and it dried up immediately. Now, Israel is pictured by three forms of vegetation in the Bible. The grapes, the vine, the fig tree, and what else? Anybody know? Think about it. No, I didn't forget it. Think about it. Okay, maybe I did forget it. All right, I'll come back to that. But the Lord Jesus, my point is, the Lord Jesus was a priest because he endured the lash. That's why he was here for 33 years. His public ministry began at the age of 30, about the age of 30. That's the same age that the Aaronic priesthood, the boys that were going to be priests, the tribe of Levi, became 30 years old, and it was their duty to become the priest, take the office of the priesthood at the age of 30. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ only had his earthly ministry as a priest, really, at the age of 30, his public ministry, but really as a priest, that really began when he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. You know what an advocate is? That's the French word for lawyer. And that's what he is. He's an intercessor. Now, I know a lot of the Catholics, and there's some saved ones, that preach that Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the intercessor between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible teaches there's no other intercessor between us and the Lord Jesus, between us and God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So he's a priest who had to endure the lash in more ways than one. So let's read it, verse 1 of chapter 1. It's wonderful about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle, I believe it's the apostle Paul, that wrote this. It could have been somebody else. I can't be sure. No one really knows for sure except God. But this is the word of God. And it starts off wonderfully well, as always. But there's no greeting. Many of the other epistles, there's a greeting involved. And so on. It's to you, and to you. Blessings and peace and grace and truth and so on to you folks that are getting this letter. But what it says here, it starts right off. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now that's prophecy. That's the Lord Jesus as prophet. We'll get to his priesthood and later on in this epistle. But this is the prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, that's a lot in two verses. Now, one of the things that I like to point out, sometimes Christians are troubled by overwhelming problems, and that's to be expected. You are to have problems, yes. Everybody has problems. Well, you tell the unsaved, well, why should I be saved? You have problems. Look at all you're going through, and I don't have half of the problems you have. You shall have tribulation in this world. God has promised that. The health and wealth gospel, don't even listen to that. Don't even listen to it. You're going to have problems. You're going to have more problems. And some people will not say that before you get saved. They won't tell you that because they don't want to actually turn people off to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the only way you can be ready to be saved is if God the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin and you see it and you know you're going to go to hell and you don't want to go to hell and it's real to you. And if it isn't real to you, you're not ready to be saved. And there's nothing I can do to tell you that you're make you ready. I can't even cause an anxious thought, the Bible says. You know what God does with our troubles? And I've had more troubles after I got saved than I did before I got saved, so I know what I'm talking about. And I've known a lot of others who have the same thing. The reason why is two different reasons why the unsaved have trouble and why the saved have trouble. Sometimes it's the same trouble. Not enough money, not enough health, family problems. Why? The purpose is different. The goal is different after you get saved. The purpose before you get saved is to drive you to the Lord Jesus Christ, where you'll have some comfort. And you'll see what the world is. You experience the world, how everybody is out to get you or whatever. I won't even get into that. You remember what it was like. But the thing is, when you get saved, you say, well, it's the same thing. Yes, it's the same thing, but for a different purpose. The reason why Christians have a hard time is because you're supposed to be a priest, for one thing. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ have a hard time? Why was he called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? Why? Why? Wasn't he perfect? Yes. Perfect in every way. Never sinned. Perfect. He's our example that you should follow his steps, the Bible says. As a priest, are you a priest? Are you? Yes, you are. If you're a believer, you're supposed to be. You're a believer priest. What does a priest do? A priest brings God's word to the people. We have it here in this verse. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's prophet. But a priest brings the people to God. The prophet brings God to the people, and the priest brings people to God by way of sacrifice or by way of, nowadays, by way of the gospel, by intercessory prayer. Do you know that the unsaved don't have a prayer? It's true. They have no privilege in prayer. God is not obliged. In his grace, he might hear them. In his sovereignty, he might hear them. But they have no claims upon him. None. Not whatever. Not the privilege in prayer that you have as a believer or that I have. You can bring people to God, and God is interested in saving that person. But that doesn't mean the problems go away. The problems are there so that you can be a priest, yes, but also that you can be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know all that stuff that you had in your wagon that you're dragging? You're dragging a wagon, little red wagon full of neuroses and all kinds of stuff that happened to you as a little kid. You're dragging it. You're carrying it with you. All through your life, sometimes to the end of your life. You know what you're supposed to do?
what psychotherapy is all about, supposed to be all about, it's not, but it's supposed to be all about, is so that you can recognize it, you blame it on your parents, they did that to you, or somebody else did that to you, so take that little thing that you're dragging those shoes, that neuroses, take it out of the wagon, and put it aside, and keep on moving. Next thing is that neuroses, take that out of the wagon, put that aside. After a while, you got an empty wagon, supposedly. No, it doesn't work that way.
God is not going to let you, the world doesn't work that way. God is not going to allow you to have no problems. The problems are there to take you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people think they have nothing to pray about, so they don't pray. Now, you need to pray, and you need to pray about it. And that brings you closer to God. And as I said before, a relationship, any relationship between people or between a person and God is developed by communication. Okay, guys? Are you listening? Communication with your wife, with your kids, with everybody. Communication. Most people that are men, men have dens, women don't. There's a reason for that. You can call it a birth defect if you want to, but it's a fact. Men are the lone ranger, and they don't talk about it because maybe they're just not built that way, or maybe they think that's a sign of weakness, but they will not communicate as much as a woman will, because a woman actually is built different here and everywhere else, and they will communicate because they need to. My landlord needed to be apprised of a situation. I rent now. I don't own a home. So I told Charlene, call his wife. Don't call him. Call his wife. And she's going to nag him until it gets done. Right? Are you with me on that one? Sure, because a woman need a house is important to a woman, not as much for a man, but for a woman it is, and she gets things done. She wants things done, and right now, or maybe yesterday, but get it done. See, so that's the thing. There's a difference between, but we're all priests, all of us. Each one of us is a priest, male or female. You're priests before God. Why? That's why problems are there, to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to wear you down. I'm a lot smoother than I used to be. All the rough edges that I've had over the years, it's because I married well. And I always wanted a family. And all the difficulties of life. One time I used to be an exhibit builder for museums. I wanted a museum to show river rocks. Well, you can buy river rocks. There's a market for that. And we bought a whole bunch of river rocks. They're all worn smooth. Why? Because they were in the river. And the waters and the sand come up. And eventually it made all those jagged rocks nice and round and smooth. David, when he went to kill Goliath, he picked up 5 smooth stones. They're much more aerodynamic. And he threw them with God's power and God's accuracy and killed the giant Goliath. But the point is, they were smooth. And you will be a better person as you exercise your priesthood to God through adversity. Do you have any problems? Okay, well, if you don't have any problems, you must know somebody that has problems. That's where you will act as a priest, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. That's a priesthood. A God priest. Upholding all things. That includes me. That includes you. He's still doing it. We have a mediator. There is no mediator but the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our mediator, our priest before God. He brings us to God. Now, he did talk about the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one in the scripture that was both, there was prophet, priest, and king. He's king already. He was king before he actually came to the earth. Some people think he was king when he ascended into heaven. Yes, he was, but he was king before that. Don't forget who he was. All things were made for him and by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So he's God, always was God, and God is king. Now, here's an interesting thing you might not have known. Maybe I didn't know it, so I just learned it recently. The word Jehovah is not mentioned in the New Testament, as far as I know. I can't find it. You know what Jehovah is? Jehovah is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead. Try to find it. And get a concordance if you have to, but read the Bible anyway. But try to find the word Jehovah. That's capital L in English, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. They're getting tired of me saying this in the prayer meeting, I'm sure. But when I see something, I like to talk about it because it's my month to open up God's word. Anyway, try to find that. You know, why is it not that word, Yahweh, which is capital, all capitals? It's just Adonai, capital L, small O, small R, small D. Why is that in the Bible? That's Adonai. And it doesn't necessarily refer to God. It can, but it doesn't. The reason why is because Yahweh is three in one up in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is Yahweh. He was here on earth. He was here. That's why they called him Lord, because he took upon himself the form of a servant priest. And you could not reverently, even though the Lord Jesus Christ is God, they never referred to him as Yahweh while he was here. They never did. Now think about that one. He humbled himself, and that's half of our problem. Why do we fight and get in arguments? Because at that moment, we have not humbled ourselves. That's why, listen, do you know that the marriage statistic for divorce and marriage is the same for the unsaved as it is for the saved? About half. Why is that? That's discouraging. That's discouraging. And the Barna polls and all the polls that people take, and you hear from them once in a while. Do you read your Bible? No. Christians. These are Christians. You read your Bible? No. When's the last time you read your Bible? I don't know. I don't know. When do you pray? They can't tell you the last time they prayed, and they can't tell you the last time they read their Bible. How are you going to follow Christ if you do that? You can't do it. Open your eyes in the morning before you get out of bed. Talk to God. That's prayer. Say, God, help me. Three words. Can you do that? That's the shortest prayer in the Bible. Peter said it when he got out of the boat and walked on the water to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he started to sink. And because he took his eyes off of Christ, and he started to sink. Now, it's so important that we elevate our Christian walk by following his steps, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, follow his steps. In other words, you can't take the same steps that he did. You can't put your... One time I saw a little kid out for a walk in the snow with his dad, and he's trying to actually put his footprints in his dad's footprints, and he couldn't do it. But he wasn't holding dad's hand. But what happened was he could follow dad's steps. So now there are two steps of footprints. Little steps and big steps. My point is, you can't put your feet in the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't walk in his sandals, and you can't walk in his shoes, because he takes real big steps and there's no one like him. He's God manifest in the flesh. What you have to do is watch where the steps are going, and you go the same direction. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You walk, you go the same way he's going. Going the same way. You say, well, that's easy. No, it's not. You say, well, I'm not having any problems. Maybe you're going the wrong way, and the devil is going to leave you alone. If you go in the devil's footprints, that's where he wants you to go. He's not going to stop you from doing that. You just go that way. Or to stand still and do nothing, it's the same thing. To follow, that's where you're going to get trouble from the devil. Look at Job in the Bible. Job, a man who eschewed evil, a good man by the human standard, a good man. What did Satan do? He went after him. And God let him do it. And you know what? I was telling somebody at the break, we're all the beneficiaries of Job. Every one of us. Why did God let those things happen? God never explained that to Job while he was here on the earth. He never told Job what happened up in heaven. The devil said, I will get him. And God says, go ahead. You won't blaspheme. God could depend upon Job. Can he depend upon me or you? I hope so. Look, he's God's devil. He can only go so far, but you're going to have difficulty, and it's going to make you a better priest. It'll drive you further into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, not away. If your difficulties draw you away, maybe you're not saved. And I'm not here to cast doubts on anybody's salvation. But think about this. Where do you go for comfort? Do you go to the Lord Jesus, or do you go somewhere else or something else? You need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ first. Now, that is what he wants you to do. One time we were sitting up in this upper level here, and a little kid, it was a gospel supper, one of the little kids was acting up. And mother, the kid was too old for diapers, so there was no padding, but the mother had to actually paddle the little girl. And with her hand, because there was no paddle around. So she paddled. That little girl broke down and cried. The mother sat down and watched her. You know what that little girl did? She threw herself into the arms of the mother who just spanked her. You ever seen that happen before? I have. Well, that's what God does. He expects you to behave a certain way after he paddles you. He expects you, he's there, sitting there, he's... Come on. If you're his kid, you'll do it. How many times will we have to do that with our own children? It's God's way. See what I mean? It's God's way. Now, until you've been paddled, until you've been disciplined, you can't be a believer priest. You're supposed to be if you're saved, but God wants you to actually be that relationship with him. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ certainly did. Watch. In verse chapter 4, I'm going to speed ahead here. In verse chapter 4 and verse 15, now he's not just a high priest, he's not just a priest, he's a high priest. And he's a great high priest. There's nothing like him. He says, for we have not an high priest, chapter 4, verse 15 of Hebrews, who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I said a moment ago that he got thirsty even before he went to the cross. He got hungry. He got tired. There's no record of the Lord Jesus Christ ever running anywhere, but neither is there a record of the Lord Jesus Christ ever riding anywhere. He walked everywhere in that rough country, and he got tired. He got weary. When he was in the boat at the Sea of Galilee, he was tired, and he got up. He was tired. That demonstrated his humanity. But when he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, two miracles. You kids like to play in the bathtub? Okay? You notice after you splash around a little bit, and mother yells at you to stop. Getting water on the floor, you'll notice that the ripples take a little while to stop. That's a law of physics, right? The law of diminishing returns, it stops and then it settles, right? You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He got up and he commanded the wind and the waves to stop. Not when you get ready, right now. Stop. And immediately, the Bible says, there was a great calm. That's two miracles. The miracle of stilling the wind and the waves. And when the waves and the wind really obeyed him and stopped right now, it was like a mirror. That's what it says. It was that calm, peace, no waves at all. The wind and the waves. The wind makes the waves, but he stopped them all at the same time. Just, whoa. That's why the fishermen were amazed when they saw this. He demonstrated his humanity, and he demonstrated his Godhead. Demonstrated it. Read it closely. A lot of miracles in the Bible. I'll give you another one. I said it before, some maybe you weren't here. Lazarus. So Lazarus, come forth in John chapter 11. Right? Read the Bible. Read it. Think about it. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, somebody has said, well, if he didn't say Lazarus, they all would have came forth. I don't know if there were any other tombs around. But Lazarus did come forth in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. But how did he get out of the tomb? He said, come forth. He moved Lazarus out of that tomb. And because later on it says, loose him and let him go. If he was all bound up, which he was, like a mummy, how did he get out of that tomb? Even though he was alive, he was still bandaged. How did he get out of that tomb? The Lord Jesus Christ pulled him out of that tomb without touching him. That's the Lord Jesus. Read it. Loose him and let him go. They had to loose him. How could he move without being loosed? Well, because the Lord Jesus moved him. That's how it happened. Read your Bibles. Read them and think about them. Meditate about it. There's other things. I could just go on, but I'm going to stop in a minute. I'll stop 5 minutes early. It says, in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In one of the gospel accounts, as I said before from the platform, he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Another account says, and it's not contradicting, he was driven, but he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. If you compare the Gospels, you see that in the beginning of that account. He was led and driven. Why? Before and behind, the Lord Jesus Christ was right in the middle of the will of God, which is where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be right in the middle of God's word, and that's where we need to be. He was an example that we should follow his steps. How do I know the will of God? First, saturate yourself with the scriptures. Saturate yourself. That means as much as you can hold right now, take it in. If you can't take any more in, that's fine. Then put it down and pray that God will actually open your heart and mind so that you can take more in. Okay? I knew a guy that could eat. He only weighed about 180 pounds. And he was tall and thin. And he could eat. I don't know where he put it. So he had a capacity for eating. And I used to be able to eat pretty good. But he could out-eat me at the Christmas party. He had about 8,000 calories at once, and I couldn't follow him. But we had a little contest, and, well, there's plenty of food. Some people have a different capacity. You have a capacity for God's word. How do you get that? Practice, and practice some more. Meditate upon it. Feed yourself on it. You'll get there. Okay, I'm going to stop with verse 16 of chapter 4. Let us therefore, Christians, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Everywhere in the Bible, mercy comes first. Then grace. For salvation, you get grace to live, that's right, but it's not saving grace. God gives you mercy first. It's God's mercy that we are not consumed. You ever ask God for something you deserve? You say, I deserve this. I gotta have it. Somebody else got promoted instead of me. Or that kid got a bigger cupcake than I did. No. It's a God's grace that you got a cupcake. It's true. And it's God's mercy that you actually got to look at the cupcake and didn't actually lose your eyesight. God is not giving us what we deserve. That's mercy. Because we deserve bad or nothing or less than nothing. And then what he does, he brings you into his household of faith as a child of his. mercy, and then because of grace, you be coming into his household because you're saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of what? Not of what? For by grace are you saved through faith. Okay, I didn't want to put him on the spot. I have a lot of fun with Jesse. Jesse's a smart kid, and he knows that verse, but he's too shy to say it. That's okay. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that, my friends, is the grace to help in time of need. We obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's close a little early, and we'll ask God's blessing. There's so much more that we could have gone into about the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll just ask God's blessing. It's warm. I'm comfortable. Thanks again, gents, for the fan. Thanks for the water. You know, this cup of cold water is given in his name. And I don't discount that. I've had some already. I'm so glad that Dan put that filter under the sink. It's tasty water now. That's Worcester water, and it's good with a filter on it. But that fan is something else. That's really wonderful. Thanks again, gents. Our Father, we're so grateful to thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee, Father, for ever saving us to begin with and ever showing us thy great mercy. But, Father, to have the knowledge of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, Father, that is just a blessing. Help us, Father, to follow his steps, to be priesthood believers. Father, help us to minister one to another and to bring one another up in prayer and thanksgiving, Father, for blessings already received. Help us now, Father, in the Savior's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, did you guys know that I'm you're looking at me, but I'm looking at you. I knew that there was somebody that used to just come up on this platform. He wouldn't make eye contact with the audience. You know what he used to do? He used to look at the clock. Talk about people watching the clock. That's what he did. He wouldn't look at people. But I look at people to see if I'm putting them to sleep. And nobody went to sleep. Nobody. I thank you for your kind attention. And I mean it so many times.